Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman. It's Azure Friday. We're talking about identity in Windows Azure with Vittorio. So this is part two. Okay, so we've got some Active Directories up here.
Yep.
How did that happen? Let's start at the basics.
Absolutely. So when you have a Windows Azure subscription, you also get a Windows Azure Active Directory, what we call tenant. It's one instance. And basically,
for
you
free?
Can. Absolutely for free.
Okay.
Like there are two tiers. There is the free version that every Windows Azure subscriber gets. In fact, any service that you subscribe to, like Office 365, Intune, Windows Azure, all of those are backed by Windows Azure Active Directory. So you get your own instance. Like it's just there for you.
Hmm.
And you get, if you are an organization, like Microsoft, for example, then the directory which is in there is actually the directory of your organization. If instead you signed in with a Windows, like a Microsoft account, then you are an individual, you still get a directory with one user in there, which is your MSA, and you can use that directory for development. Now, developing against Windows Azure Active Directory, it all boils down to letting Active Directory know about your application. So you create one entry which describes your application. There are different types of applications, web APIs, native clients like mobile clients and similar. And all you do is to go and create this entry. And then there is a list of endpoints which support all the various protocols that we mentioned in part one. And then your job is to write your application so that it talks with those endpoints using the right protocol.
Okay.
Now here, there are a couple of things that are not always intuitively clear at first sight. In order to create those entry in the directory, you need to have a write privilege to the directory. So for example, in this specific case in which we have our Microsoft directory, our Microsoft directory is something which is run by our IT. Like this is literally the directory against which when we go and we type OWA, we basically go against that, or all of our SharePoint, all of our actually
right,
running
right,
our
because when I go to my email at outlook.com, it's Office 365 email.
Exactly.
And that then goes against Windows Azure Active Directory.
Precisely.
When I log into my regular work email.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And that directory is run by our IT, as it should be. And so clearly, as me, like a blue collar, I don't have the ability to go there and write things. Like I can't go and delete or change your name or all of these kind of things. So if I want to develop, I have to create a test directory. I have to create a test directory which I can use for then doing whatever I want. And luckily in the cloud, a test directory is super easy to create. I just like come in here. Let me zoom out just in case. And I can hit this add button. And here I can create a new directory. Let's call it Azure okay. Fridays.
And it looks like it by default, you've got like a C name for the domain name and then .onmicrosoft.com. Of course, the first question is, why is that? And I want my own domain.
that's a very good question. It's easy to have your own domain. Like this is just as a starting point. And sometimes people will be fine with it. Like for my development, I mostly use just the default.
Mm.
But there is a process for which you can demonstrate ownership of a domain, and then you use it. And in fact, one of my test directories here is one where I took one of the domains that I own, and I recognized it, and now I can use it.
OK, so this is just like when I make an Azure website. The default domain is azurewebsites.net, but I can always take it over later.
It's a perfect analogy.
All right, cool.
And here, let me choose.
Now, is this saying the country I'm from, or the country I want it in, or what is this saying?
The country you want it in.
Oh, wow.
And once I hit complete, this thing runs a bit. And this directory, by default, only, and see, it's already created. So this is very handy.
It's funny because in the old days, 10 years ago, I seem to remember Active Directory being a big deal.
Oh yeah,
like installing it was like it involved a lot of CDs and like there was a consultant.
Yeah, or more than one.
Someone had to fly in. You know, there were books like big ring three ring binders,
certifications, and instead of now click ta-da, yeah. It's there. This directory lives fully in the cloud. Like right now, if I create users, applications, and similar, those are all saved in the Windows Azure Cloud, and there is no on-prem counterpart. And that works for tests, that works for, say, organizations that have no on-premises, as it's starting to be pretty common. If I want to back these with Windows Azure installation on-premises, there is a process I can go for.
Yeah, because that's definitely a question I'd like to answer at some point, because I could certainly go in here and add a bunch of users.
Absolutely.
But maybe I use Gmail, or maybe I've got some old system at work, or maybe I have an Active Directory with 100 people in there, and I don't want to upload a CSV file.
Right. And in fact, when you can see here that there are a number of options, like a number of things that you can do with this directory. You can add users, you can put users in a group, you can add applications, you can acknowledge domains that you already own, so that then you can start using it instead of this default one.
Right.
And then in this direction, that integration, you can actually set up what we call the SSO. And that boils down to installing in your on-premises a service, which
so
we call a
SSO is single sign-on.
Single sign-on, correct. Okay. Sorry, I'm used to this.
No, I just want to make sure that everybody understands.
That's an excellent point. You go through this configuration in which you install this Deer Sync, which is a daemon which runs on your on-premises, and using a well-known, well-secured, well-tested protocol, synchronizes selected parts of your directory in the cloud, and then sets up your ADFS so that when you try to sign in with this directory, you get redirected to your ADFS.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, you said Deer Sync, D-I-R directory,
yep.
Sync. In the example we talked about in the first episode, you said that companies would come up with these hacks where you either have to punch a hole and let us in, or export a report and escape our data in a clear text format that is just a bad idea.
Yep.
You're saying it's a well-known secure protocol that provides a projection. It's like a link query over just the pieces you want to allow, send it up into the cloud, and we'll handle synchronization. So if Fred gets fired, Fred gets removed, and if Janice gets hired, she shows up, and it just happens.
That is exactly right.
I assume
right.
It happens immediately.
Immediately.
Okay.
And in fact, if you're using Office 365, that is exactly what's going on.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, yeah.
So somewhere there's Office World, there's a Deer Sync running somewhere.
Yep. Like if you decide to have your installation to reflect your on-premises. Of course, you might decide to be entirely in the cloud. And then at that point, there is no on-prem to project.
So I could see some negative IT person being like, I don't want to install some weird tray icon on my Active Directory server. That sounds evil. Is that what we're talking about, or is it something different?
You wouldn't have to install it in your domain controller. You can install it anywhere in your on-premises. And you can decide to, tune this synchronization down to the bare minimum. So for example, in the default case, you synchronize only users and groups, but you don't synchronize the credentials, so that the passwords never leave your box. Mm. So that when somebody authenticates, just like us, when we use our Office 365 in Outlook, we come back to on-prem. And so if we get deleted from the on-prem directory, you don't even need to let the cloud know. It's just you lose access immediately. So that usually makes the admins feel pretty good.
I see.
Then there is a bit of a administrative cost for achieving this. That means that you have to set up ADFS and you have to configure it. Smaller organizations that are less concerned can decide not to do it, and they can synchronize the hash of the passwords, which of course we save encrypted with all the various security requirements. And then at that point, you also have your passwords in the cloud. But you are completely in control. You decide what you want to do.
It's funny how everything in Azure comes down to a slider bar. And you've basically just described the slider bar of paranoia.
Yes.
And you're basically allowing the IT administrator to be extremely paranoid, which is totally OK, or not paranoid at all. And somewhere in the middle, and there's always a choice.
Exactly. So when you want to develop, usually, both in the case in which you are doing your organizational directory, like I'm doing here, or whenever you have your own directory, if you are in MSA, your Windows Azure subscription is connected to a Microsoft account.
What is MSA?
Microsoft account.
Okay.
It's like short for formerly known as Live ID.
Live ID, okay,
yep.
Cool. So when I log in, is you know, Hanselman.com, that's actually my live ID.
Right, okay, exactly. Cool. In fact, here, just for giving one quick example, if I open one in private and I come in here, now I can sign in as a Hotmail. And then here you'll see my subscription.
Oh, and see, now it wants to text you, and it's going to, that's okay. And it's going to do okay. The whole two-factor auth.
Exactly, exactly. And okay. Like my phone now is off because
no,
I didn't
okay.
want it to.
I understand.
Yeah, because of course it protects my accounts with 2FA.
I do too.
But what happens is that when you get in there, you have this directory, which is empty, where it's just your live ID. And in order to use some of the integration features that we have in Visual Studio, you need to actually have a user in the directory. So something like scott@mydirectory.onmicrosoft.com. So the first thing that you want to do here is usually to add a user. Mm-hmm. So let's add a user. So here, and I will use this user for development. So a new user in your organization, let's call it admin, because I don't have a lot of fantasy. If I would have more than one domain here, okay. I'd be able to choose it. And here, Gino admin. And here, this is very important. For the time being, if you want to write anything in the directory, and if you want to develop, you have to be able to write,
right.
You have to be a global administrator. So you need to actually write, to choose that role for yourself.
So global administrator seems like a bigger statement than just regular administrator.
It is.
It's a big word, global.
Yes, but it's global within your directory.
Okay.
So for the time being, our directory is teeny. We just created it.
Okay. So it's global within AzureFridays.onMicrosoft.com.
That is exactly right.
Okay.
Let me add my alternative address. If I'd wanted to protect this account, since it's global administrator, I could do enable multi-factor auth.
Well, so maybe we'll do a video on that.
Absolutely. And then at this point, I get a temporary password. And then, since I don't want...
I assume that passwords can be as complicated as you want?
Yep.
Okay.
And in fact, the first thing that you have to do normally is to change this password. Because the first time that you use it, you have to change it. And since you don't want these to happen while you're developing, a good trick is to try to sign in with that account right now, so that I have my chance of changing the password, and then I'm not bothered
okay.
again.
Well, do I sign into Azure itself?
In any property which requires a directory. So now I will try to get into Windows Azure. Since I didn't register that user as a co-admin of my subscription, I will not succeed. But it doesn't matter, because all I want to do is to change the password. So you'll see it.
I see. So the trick is, try to be authenticated against something, in this case, Azure itself.
Yep.
You're going to fail, but before you fail, it will ask you to change your password.
That's exactly right. And in fact, I'm going through these motions because it happens pretty often, and so I just want to make sure that viewers are aware.
That's a good trick for video two.
Let's see.
AzureFridays.onMicrosoft.com.
Thank you. Okay, and now it asks me for a password. I give a temporary password.
Okay.
Then it says, oh, wow.
Ah, here you go. And then you're at account.activedirectory.azure.com. Okay.
Exactly. Here I'll use my usual password. And now it asks me to use it.
Now it wants your actual password. And then it's going to say, no, you can't get into Azure.
And in fact, now it's going to complain big time. Saying, whoop,
yeah,
what is
not,
but that's fine, because all I wanted to do is to change my password.
Interesting. That's a clever trick.
So at this point, we are all set for starting to actually develop.
Okay, cool. We made an Active Directory. We added a user to it, and we learned a trick on how to easily change the password on that first initial login. Next, we'll start developing against it. It's Azure Friday.